Yay! How many of you remember that? Really? That was back when we had three television stations. That was a long time ago. So you couldn't help but maybe watch the Saturday morning cartoons. Some of the teens are going, I recognize one or two of them, maybe. I don't know. Superman. I love the superheroes. I want to talk today about A League of Their Own. A League of Their Own is one of those baseball movies in our series. I couldn't show a clip of it because there would be too much editing. But A League of Their Own, where they, back in the day during the World War II, they had the Women's Professional Baseball League. It didn't work. And the number one reason why it didn't work, because they cried. And there's no crying in baseball. Boy, you guys watch a lot of TV. I have to tell you, when I think about the Super Friends and I think about the Scripture, when it talks about these amazing people, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Gideon, and David, and it refers to people like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and just amazing people in Scripture. When you take a look at all these people in Scripture, you can't help but think, wow, what an amazing group of people. I can't wait to get to heaven to meet this league of superheroes. And just to sit down and go, I can't believe you did that. And when you look at it, your Scripture is very clear. It says in there, not only did they do these things, but it says that they quenched the fury of the flames. They were thrown into the fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. But some of them, it said, received back their dead, raised to life. Others were tortured, refused to be released. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. I want to ask, what motivated you to be sawed in half? That's a huge question. What motivated you to be put in chains? What motivated you to be drawn and quartered? What motivated you to be filleted alive? What motivated you to be dipped into oil and used as Roman candles for Nero's parties? What motivated you? That's amazing to me. This week I just celebrated another birthday. One more year, along with some of you. Actually, we share some of the same birthdays. There's a lot of August birthdays in this church. So happy birthday to you. And I got a chance to go. My wife said, what would you like for your birthday a long time ago, early in the summer, and I just threw something out. I said, I'd love to go to the Freedom Concert with Sean Hannity. And she said, nothing about it. A few days ago, she said, don't do anything on Friday and Saturday morning. I said, okay. I had the opportunity, the privilege of being a part of something I think is fantastic. It's a fundraiser. Basically, what the Freedom Concert was, down at Kings Island in Cincinnati. I've never been there either. We got these VIP pass tickets we found. Put us right in the front row of 13,000 people. As we sat there in this amphitheater in Kings Island, I was blown away as Lee Greenwood got up and sang, I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died for me, and he's singing this. And I mean, I'm just crying. And I'm looking, and flags are being waved. Hundreds and hundreds, fields of red, white, and blue. And I'll tell you, as an American, as a human being, I couldn't have been more proud of my country to think about the freedom and the men and women who have died to give that right to me. And then he went on and sang American Soldier and all these others. And I'm telling you, and then they brought Rich Little out. Now, some of you will remember Rich Little. The kids are going, Rich who? He does impersonations. And he came out, and we were laughing, and as they're changing. Then out comes Charlie Daniels with his long beard and his little violin. And he gets out and does The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And that was just great. I tell you, we were rocking the house. And my wife and I, my son, who I was so proud of, and his friend, we were able to go down there. And they asked those currently serving in the military to stand up. And I tell you, I just lost it. And this woman sitting in front of us turned around, handed him a note, and said, thank you. Thank you. And I tell you, I couldn't have been more proud. As we stood there, and Charlie Daniels' band got done, Colonel Oliver North got up, and he spoke. And I'm just in awe of a man who has two Purple Hearts. He'd have two more Except he refused them because then they would have him out of the military. Once you get 3 years, you can't go onto the field of battle anymore. And he's on his way over to Iraq for a month to be with our soldiers this Friday. And as I stood there, I was just in awe of these people. I was in a league of people. I thought, this is amazing. And then Michael W. Smith got up. And he just said, and the sun was already set, and the lights come up, and the ambiance of the blue lights and the smoke, and he's up on his keyboard, and that's it, no band. And he just began to worship. And he says, these are some songs we sing in my church. Like a rose trampled to the ground, you took the fall, and you thought of me above all powers, above all things. And he just began worshiping. And I'm looking around going, there's 13,000 people. I wonder how many Christians. I look, and there are people worshiping all over this place. And I just stood there thinking, I'm so proud to be here today. And then Billy Ray Cyrus, Hannah Montana's daddy, got up. And that guy's a nutcase. I thought I had energy. He had more energy. Oh, this is on tape. Not a nutcase crazy, just energy. So if anybody's listening, as if he's listening to me preach this morning, right? Somewhere online, he's going to listen to this sermon. You never know. He got up and he began to sing. And before as he sang through his concert, again, just the pride of being an American and the soldiers and the men and women who were brought out there. You see, the money they raised, 100% of it goes to the scholarship for the children of soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice. You don't know their names, but today they stand on fields of battles, in bunkers, in turrets, in Hummers, and they protect you today, and you don't even know their names. And I watched some of them as they came across the stage, and they had a live link to one young lady, and she's a Marine in Iraq, and her mom and 7 adopted brothers and sisters got to say hello for the first time in a long time. And boy, I tell you, I lost it. And then at the end, see, the scholarship money, they've raised $12 million doing this, goes to every child to make sure if they want to go to college, that because of the sacrifice of their dad not being around anymore or their mother, that these kids are going to have their college taken care of. And I tell you, I could have been more proud of my country. And then at the end, they brought this family out, this wife of a sergeant who lost his life not too long ago when an IED blew up his Hummer. And they brought out his little boy. As we were standing there, and they came out, his wife and then the soldier's sister and his mom and dad, as they came out and stood on the stage, Sean went up and he got down on a knee with a microphone. He says to the little boy, would you like to say hi to everybody? He goes, hi, everybody. And it was so cute. And he said, would you like to say anything else? And that little boy, he must have been about 3 years old. And he says, I just want you all to know my daddy's with me all the time, and I love him. I was done. And Billy Ray Cyrus sang the song, few gave some, but some gave all. And I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. That sergeant gave his life for me. He doesn't know me, but today I have the freedom to worship in my country. I have the freedom to work anywhere I want. I have the freedom to travel state to state. I have the freedom to take my family on vacation and not worry about somebody attacking my family. Not worry about this. And they had soldiers throughout these concerts this summer. Guys who had lost their legs. One soldier who had been burned 95% of his body. And they bring him out. And they said, I can't believe this happened. What would you like to say? And they said, I would like to go back and be with my company and continue fighting. And I thought to myself, what motivates people to do this for people that not only may not know them, but how about this? People who could care less about the American flag or the freedoms that they have. What motivates them to say, even people who would spit in their face and call them baby killers or burn the flag or do these? What motivates someone to give their life for a perfect stranger? And I got to tell you, I think it's a deep sense that's in the spirit of every human being if you get in touch with who our God is and Creator. And it says this, greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His brother. You say you want to be children of God, Jesus says in Matthew. Great. I tell you this. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Then you will be true sons of the living God. And to give your life for someone who could care less. And I stood there and it just motivated me. It motivated me with everything in me. And I thought about these words this morning as all week long as I meditated on this and thinking about people like Barak. People like Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel and Abraham and all these people. And I thought, what motivated them to live and to die for a God that was their faith? What motivated them? I think what motivated them, what was deep inside of every human being. And it says this, we are not like the animals. We are human beings. We are created in the image of God. When an animal gets hit by the side of the road, other animals don't get an ambulance. They don't call 911. They don't pull over and say, well, let's help that buck out. He just took a good shot from a SUV. They don't stop. What they do is they keep running, and then other animals come and eat it. You see, we are not animals. We are not evolved from another species. We are created in the image of God, and we care. God has given us His Spirit. And into Adam, it says in Genesis, it says in the very beginning, and God breathed His living Spirit, His Spirit, into man's nostrils. And when He breathed His Ruach, His Spirit into us, we became a nefesh hayeh, a living being, a part of God, created in His image. We have compassion one for another. That's why it breaks our heart. That's why when I see a little three-year-old, it wrecks me. That's when I see a soldier standing by a flag. It makes me proud. That's why when you have a baby and you stand in a hospital room, you think to yourself, God, please give me the strength. Give me the wisdom to raise this little boy, this little girl, and do right by them. That's why we have the wisdom and the courage to stand up today to say, we don't want our country to fall apart. We don't want our world to fall apart. We want to stand God, family, and country in this nation. And I think about these men and I think, what a league of their own. I want to be a part of that league. How about you? I want to be a part of a league that says, I'm willing to sacrifice my life. I would like to give and dedicate my life from this day forward to the betterment of the next generation. I would like to make a difference in this world. To be a part of that, I love the scripture because it goes on. Not only does it say in chapter 11 about all of these great men and women, but your Bible says, why did they do it? It gives you an answer, and your answer is in chapter 11, in verse 35. It says, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. I want a better resurrection. The world tells you about resurrection. The world will tell you, when you die, you are no more. You evolved, you're just an animal, and when you die, you go to the ground and there's no more life. I want to let you know, I want a better resurrection. I'm a living being. I'm an eternal being. When I die, I'm going to be raised up with Christ in the glory. I'm going to stand right there in front of God in His throne, and I will stand in judgment. He will open up the book, and He will say, Mitch, well done, good and faithful servant. I want a better resurrection. And so why do I get my head sprayed? I don't even know how ridiculous this looks. It looks okay. I may keep it. Yeah, they're saying, yeah, keep it. Why do we do what we do? Why are we over here working? Why are we putting a children's wing together? Why are we sitting in a mall on a Sunday morning in a bunch of chairs in a warehouse? Why are you sitting here on a Sunday morning? Because I believe you want a better resurrection in your life. I believe you want to make a difference for other people around you. I believe you want the next generation to have it better than we've got it. Good. Well, I'm glad you're awake this morning. The Bible goes on to tell us how we can have that better resurrection. And it says we can be a part of this league. And it says, let us, let us, let us. And over in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I'll tell you, it was real easy to be patriotic when I was surrounded by 13,000 people, probably about 6,000 or 7,000 flags, having Lee Greenwood singing, and I'm standing there going, I'm an American. I got my shirt on. We bought some shirts to wear down there, and everybody's wearing these shirts, and it said, American to the core, with a big flag on it. You know, and you're walking around the park and you're seeing all this stuff. It's real easy to do it there. But go do it in this country when it may not be so politically correct, when some people are apologizing about our nation. Now, let me convert that. It's real easy to be a Christian when you're standing in church with the preacher. It's real easy to get motivated and get fired up. I want to go out there, and when I see other people say, I'll tell you what, Christian to the core. I am a follower of Christ through and through. From the top of my head to the tip of my boots, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and whatever it takes, oh boy, here we go. Because get ready, that's a dangerous statement. Whatever it takes, God, here I am, go for it. Can I tell you, if you do that, that's dangerous. Let me just read this again. Thrown into the fire, mouth of lions, edge of the sword. Are you getting the idea? So no wonder why Paul tells us we can participate in this. And the first thing he says is, let us throw off everything. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let us take and throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles us. If you want to be a part of this league, can I tell you this? And I think we miss this as Christians. We come to Christ and we come to church. And we got our rocks. And we got all the stuff that we drag in from the world. Folks, it doesn't work with Jesus. You can't fly with kryptonite in your backpack, okay? You got to get rid of the kryptonite. And we just go along and say, it's not a big deal. And you know what? If it's not bad enough that we have our own rocks, we got other people. We got other people that are throwing rocks in there with us. Oh, come on, it's okay, just do this with me. And so we start going around and we start carrying our rocks. It's so easy to come to church, but I think the hardest thing to do is to throw off everything that hinders us. Guys, it is so hard to throw this away. But I got to tell you, it's even harder to carry it around. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to throw down. He says, you want to participate in this league? Let's get rid of the stuff that's slowing us down. Let's get rid of that stuff. Let's throw it off. Let's get it out of our lives. Oh, I am free, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know what? We just sang, I am free at last. I am free to dance. I am free to run. I am free. I don't know about you, but it feels good to be free. Why would we carry around the weight of this world when it says, let us throw off everything that hinders us? By the way, hinders us isn't necessarily sin. It's just stuff that's slowing you down from running with God. What? Not sin? That's right. It says, and the sin that so easily entangles. I don't even want to get to preaching here. I'll look right here and not at anybody. But there's a lot of things we have in our life that are not killing us, but they are not benefiting the kingdom of heaven. And if you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven and learn how to be a part of this league, you got to get rid of that. The second thing he says is, let us run with perseverance. The race that's marked out for us. You know why he said perseverance? They understood perseverance because in 60 A.D., Nero destroyed Jerusalem. Or 70 A.D., I'm sorry. Jerusalem was destroyed. The Romans absolutely burned it. I mean, they just trashed it. And it was the great diaspora. Everybody took off. They were dispersed. And when they were dispersed, there was perseverance going on because you had to stand. If you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, Nero would have these little pool parties and these little things he did, and he would grab entire families and he would dip them in oil and tie them up and have them as his torches to light his parties. So when my daughter was up here hugging me and singing about how she loved Jesus, I had to decide whether or not it was worth me following Jesus Christ, because I knew she would be put to death because of my faith. Now you got to ask yourself that question. Are you ready to persevere and run the race that's marked out for you? Now God hasn't called me to that. I live in America. I can stand up and pretty much preach anything I want. I can believe anything I want in America. Nobody's going to dip me in oil. Nobody's going to saw me in half. Nobody's going to draw and quarter me. Nobody at this point is going to put me in jail. I live in America. But I am ready to run the race that is marked out for me. I am resolved. We need to be resolved because here it comes. When I get out there tomorrow, we just took 24 teenagers to Chicago to get fired up for Jesus. I'll bet 24 were fired up when we got back. But I guarantee you, 4 weeks ago was a lot easier than this week it is. And I guarantee you, already in their homes and in their parents, they've already had some of this stuff going on, all this clash of, are you living for Jesus? Are you living for Jesus? Are you still sold out? And I'll bet there's some that didn't even go that are thinking, am I sold out for Jesus? And I'll bet it's hard to stand. And when school starts in a few weeks, I'll bet it's going to be really hard to stand and say, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ, to resolve to stand no matter what. I'm talking to you guys, and every parent out there is going, boy, that's me too. To resolve on Friday night with your buddies, out fishing, out hanging out. Martin Luther was living in a time when there was heresy after heresy. And Martin Luther, he grabbed a piece of paper and he tacked it right on the wall of the college where he spoke at Wittenberg. At the dorm of Wittenberg, Martin Luther, the great reformist, he said, this is what I believe. And he posted the 95 thesis, the things he believes. He says, this is what I believe. And he put it up for everyone to see. The church came along and said, take that down. He says, what? I'm not taking it. That's what we believe. Take it down. He said, no. They said, you either take it down or we're going to condemn you, damn you to hell. And they gave him a bull of excommunication. Martin Luther knew to stand for this. And the belief of the day is that the Pope has the ability to condemn you to hell, period. And that's what he was about to do. And Martin Luther stood and he says, this is going to cost me everything. I'm going to lose everything I know. I'm going to lose absolutely the teaching, the education, the seminary, my faith, my salvation, eternity. And he said this, here I stand. I can do no other. And he would not take that down. And Martin Luther was excommunicated from the church. And that began what's known as the Protestant Revolution. The Reformation took place. I think there's a part in us that has to somehow come out and say, you know what, I'm willing, God, what am I willing to stand for? What am I willing to say? This is so important that it can cost me everything. Amen, sister. This can cost me everything. What are you willing to live for? And I asked you guys this a few weeks ago because this is kind of a term that God has been putting on my heart. What wrecks you? What is it that in your heart will rip you apart and you stay up at night thinking about what is it that you would be willing to live for and to die for? What wrecks you? A young man came to me a couple weeks ago. He says, Pastor, can I have permission? I said, I'll take it to the board, but you have 100% from me. And he came to me, he says, a friend of mine lives in Mexico, and here's what wrecks him. He said, he goes in and he rescues the sex slave trade people. I don't know if you know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. I talked to a guy who's in the ICE agency. He says, yeah, we have agents that's what they do. National Homeland Security, that's what they do. He said, we want to take this to our college ministry. Do I have permission to share it with them? I said, I took it to the board and they said, absolutely. In our board meeting, you could just see how it was just, one board member turned and said, I want to be a part of that. What wrecked you? He said, I was down there at one point, a friend of mine that has this compound, and they go and they rescue people who've been kidnapped and sold in the sex slave trade. Human trafficking. We want to rescue them. And as he looked at me and he started sharing this story, I thought, this wrecks him. Look at this. And it almost wrecked me. It's not what God called me to, but it got my heart so bad. I just sat there and it just broke my heart. He said, this guy went in, they do kind of this op, this night op, and they find the location and they found this little girl that was being sold and they were going in that night to rescue her. And they kick in the doors and they go in and they grab this girl and out they go. And the girl is kicking and she's screaming with everything that's within her. And as they rescued her, as time went on, she told them, that night when you rescued me, I was so afraid. I thought you were taking me to the hospital to get sewn back up because I had been raped so many times. He said, Pastor, do we have permission to go rescue people? I said, 100%. You guys go for it. And at Grace, our young people are going to help these teams rescue kids. And I say, what wrecks you? Let us persevere. Let us run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. What has God marked out for you in your life? I know God has marked out for me, at least for the time being, the Port Huron area, that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what wrecks me. I want people to know that God loves them. He died for their sins. He wants them to cast off the garbage that Satan wants to pack in their backpack and say, you don't have to carry this. Jesus Christ has set you free. That's the message of the cross. It's the best news of all. It's the greatest news I have for you this morning. Jesus has set you free. Our children, we have people in this church who God has broken their heart for children that we can rescue them next door, that we'd have a facility. Our youth, you're going to hear more about that. Go see what's happening with our youth. There are 10,000 teenagers within a half hour of this church. 90% of them don't go to church. What wrecks you? What gets you up in the middle of the night? What goes through your mind through the day? That's what wrecks me. That is the race He's marked out for me. What has He marked out for you? All you have to do is get into it with Him, and He will show you what He has marked out for you here at Grace. And get on board. Be a part of it. And then he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. This is going to be very difficult for some people. It says they did this, all of these people that gave their life in this super amazing league of faith. It says they did it and the world was not worthy of them. Can I tell you something? The world is not worthy of you. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. What that means is this. The world is not worthy to fix your eyes upon. Don't get your eyes on the things of this world. Get your eyes on Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's what it says. That's what fixing our eyes is supposed to do. My daughter, I wear the shirt. I've shared it. I'm not going to share it again today. My daughter, when she was little, thought I was Superman. In fact, I did not share this. My neighbor, I was driving home one day, and I had this shirt on, and he saw it. This little boy that lives up the street. And he said, Superman. And the mom came and said, Superman lives in our neighborhood. He saw my shirt. Superman was one of his favorite superheroes. The favorite superhero, and saw me with it and thought I was Superman. I said, that's so cool. My daughter, when she was younger, thought the same thing. She saw me with it. We went through this whole story, and she's getting old enough to realize that her dad is definitely not Superman. In fact, he's probably more Clark Kent than he is anything. I stumble and I bumble and I live in the Daily Planet, but I want you to know, more than anything in my heart, I desire to fly. I desire to do the things of God. And I want my little girl to, as long as she could, and it's over now, she's going to be 9 and she knows everything. She knows now I'm not Superman. She knows now that it's just a story that cost me $1 in her pocket. But when she was little, her daddy really was Superman. Can I tell you something? My daughter came up to me the other day and she said, Daddy, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I said, no. She says, I want to do what you do. I want to be a preacher. And you saw, she was the one up here spraying my head and spraying and spraying and spraying. And she has no shy bone in her body. She told me, she goes, Daddy, I want to preach the gospel. I want to tell people about Jesus like you do. And I thought, I don't want to be Superman anymore. I want to be preacher man. She wants to be like that. And she crawled up in my lap and she said, what do I need to do? I said, well, you need to go to Bible college. And you do. She goes, that's what I'm going to do when I get older. I'm going to be like you. And I thought, be better than me. Because there's a league of superheroes who've gone on before us, and we are surrounded by them. They're in this church. Bonnie, who sat with a lady who's going to be with Jesus and shared the love of God, and she prayed, and she's in heaven today, dancing because she is free to dance. Susie, who's gone through and said, God, enough fireworks. How many more surgeries? And her husband comes through. And what a blessing. What a blessing to hear the praise of God in her life. Those that work with children, the couple that's back there that said, we'll take the whole summer and work with the kids. Those of you, when Greg said, hey, Pastor, let's do a blessing of the bike. Laura and so many others said, let's do a reverse Christmas. You are surrounded by heroes. The women who answer the phones every day of the week, and they're the first voice that someone hears when they call a church. The ushers and the greeters who hug you when you come through the door and try to make you feel at least important. The people who come in here and practice during the week to sing a song, hoping you'll like it. The men and women who work in the nursery, holding the little babies so that you can come and hear about Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that entangles and the sin that so easily hinders. Let us run the race with perseverance that's marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and He is the perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy set before Him scorned the cross and its shame. And He took upon Himself our salvation. Whether you wanted it or not. What a superhero. I'm proud to be an American, but more than that, I'm proud to be in Christ and a Christian. Let's stand and pray.